The poet Hannah Senish wrote, "There are stars whose light reaches the earth only after they themselves are extinguished. And there are people whose scintillating memory lights the world even after they have passed from it. These lights which shine in the darkest night are those which illumine for us the path." Brad Brunson was such a star, and his light, his presence will accompany us, even at times will lead us going forward into the future. Jewish tradition tells us that when someone we love dies, we honor him by providing a decent burial and by supporting one another. We tell stories, we smile, we cry, we put our arms around each other to hold each other up. We also offer our words in praise and recognition of Brad's role in our lives. Our ancestors understood that in this moment of shock and disorientation, words do not always come easily to our lips. We are going then to read some psalms together, ancient words, to have us begin. You may have the pamphlet, and if you do, we're going to start on the inner left-hand cover at the top with an excerpt from Psalm 24, and please join us. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell there. For God laid its foundations upon the sea and established it upon the currents. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in God's holy place? Those with clean hands and pure hearts, who never speak with malice, who never swear deceitfully. They shall receive blessings from the Lord, justice from God their helper. Such are the people who turn to you, who seek your presence, O God of Jacob."
Esaina el harim, me'ayin yavo esri. Esri me'im Adonai, ose shamayim v'aretz. Al yiten lamot rak lecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, ve'yareyach ba'layla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitcha uvoecha, me'ata ve'ad olam.
Let's join together in the 121st Psalm. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. What is the source of my help? My help will come from Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. God will not let your foot give way. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The eternal is your keeper. Adonai is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not harm you by day,
nor the moon at night.
God will guard you from all harm.
God will protect your being. God will guard you
coming and going
from this time forth and forever." And we continue with the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in right paths for the sake of his name. Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death,
I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. With rod and staff you comfort me.
You have set a table
before me in the presence of my enemies.
You have anointed my head with oil.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall
dwell in the house of the Lord. We continue with a reading not found in the pamphlet from Kohelet, the book of Ecclesiastes. There is a time for everything, for every experience under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what has been planted, a time to destroy and a time to heal, a time for tearing down and a time for building up, a time for weeping and a time for dancing, a time for throwing stones and a time for gathering stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to discard, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time for silence and a time to speak. We'll be having a number of people sharing some thoughts, but Christine, if you would be the first to come up.
Greetings to all of you. I'm honored to be here on behalf of Anne and the family to give this eulogy on behalf of Brad. And today we gather to celebrate the life of this remarkable man, Brad Brunson, whose sudden departure has left an indelible void in our lives. We knew him and loved him. We knew him as the chill husband of Anne, with matching hair and cool sunglasses. We knew him as the father to adult young twins, now starting out on successful careers. We knew him as the father of Jake, full of Brad's intelligence, love of life, and humor. We knew him as a friend and as a colleague, and we will miss him. He was married to my dear friend Anne, a highly skilled woman who introduced him to the Jewish faith that became his faith. He supported her while she embarked on a new legal career, while she managed a law practice, and he celebrated with her remarkable achievements, all the while building success upon success in his own career. Together as partners, they juggled the demands of raising three children. And he adored Anne. Together they built a beautiful life for all of them. Brad was Anne's soulmate and partner. Theirs was the perfect match, he for her and she for him. Their love story began in their college days when a shared green-handled bottle of Inglenook Chablis, remember those? Ignited a romance that was to last a lifetime. Anne agreed to date Brad, and his taste for wine improved rapidly. But so did their lives. He gave Anne a newfound lightness and joy, despite the difficulties and seriousness of her academic career. At his very young age, he would decide to leave a lucrative job as one of the top salesmen at a huge electronics store in Madison, where he could have done very well for himself over a lifetime. But instead, he chose to finish his degree as a full-time student at UW-Madison. As Anne had told him, this was a prerequisite to them being together. Sound familiar, kids? She would say to him, "You are better than this, Brad." And he listened. While Brad studied, attended classes, and worked part-time to support himself, Anne attended the University of Wisconsin Law School. His decision secured a future for them and decades of joy for the family they built. They were married the week after Anne graduated law school. Brad learned to be a member of a boisterous and loving Jewish family that was always hugging and kissing each other and playing games and cooking food. He took on their traditions as his own, happily vacationing with them in Puerto Vallarta with the whole family for many years, and having huge family dinners, building family relationships, and forming lasting memories. As a young couple, they navigated the complexities of life as equal partners. But they were challenged when the twins were born. They found a way, however, to make sure that caring for both infants was evenly shared. Anne realized that if she handed Brad one of the babies, it would immediately stop crying and it would lay on his chest and go to sleep. So secure in his arms. "How do you do that?" she would say. "It's just not fair." Obviously, raising twins can be a test of a marriage, but not so for Anne and Brad. Brad faced the challenges of raising twin teenagers with humor, acceptance, and love, and a great deal of pride, because the twins are truly exceptional. He was thoroughly involved in their school lives, and upon high school graduation, they were rewarded for their academic careers and achievements with a trip to Europe on their own. Upon entry to different colleges in different cities, he would drive to visit them and transport them whenever asked, and they both achieved academic excellence. As each faced challenges in their young lives, Brad was their anchor. And their champion. He stood close and helped them become strong and resilient adults. When Jake was born, Brad had to teach Anne how to master the art of changing a baby boy's diapers or risk the curtains next to the changing table. He loved his little boy so much. And as you can see, he's grown into a young man with whom he has so much in common. Jake is funny and smart and full of life, and Brad was immensely proud of him that Jake decided to transfer to the University of Wisconsin-Madison for the last 2 years of college, following the tradition of many generations in the family who attended there. And this was a very important decision for Jake, and Brad could not have been more proud. Brad's brilliance as a salesman was legendary, and it was said he could sell anything to anyone. But in fact, he sold cork for wine, sparkling, and spirits for an amazing company called Amarin Cork. He loved his career there and worked hard to add to the company's ongoing success. It was really a great fit for him. Even though his colleagues could not really imagine why he would prefer the beauty and wonder of Milwaukee to the desolation of the Sonoma Valley in California. Brad's dedication and camaraderie extended to his co-workers, playing the role of happy, forgiving chaperone during international client entertainment, always ensuring the balance between fun and professionalism. I bet that none of you knew anything about cork or how it was harvested sustainably until Brad taught you. But now you're experts. Brad was a dog lover, and it was reciprocal. Every dog he met, even the notoriously cranky Simon, his mother-in-law of beloved memories dog, remained calm and rolled over upon meeting him, looking for a belly rub, which was not usually offered. Brad passed the test. But more recently, his own puppy, Stoli, named for Stolichnaya Vodka, of course, would sit all day in his office on the special pillow he gave her and keep him company while he worked, of course, receiving generous amounts of treats. His warm and genuine affection created a bond that even transcended species. Brad loved his friends and loved to cook for them. His cooking prowess, especially making perfectly grilled ribs added flavor to their shared experience. Anne and Brad entertained with style, ease, but mostly fun. Latkefest, a testament to their joyous celebrations, began as a party for 20 friends many years ago in the big house on Farwell, with Brad at the helm of the kitchen. Over the years, however, it has grown to a party for nearly 150 friends. And someone told me to say that this was not a Hanukkah miracle, but a reflection of Brad's generosity and love for creating cherished moments among people. For this year's Latkefest, Brad had finally relented and accepted kitchen help for himself and his partner, Chef Dan, so they could enjoy the festivities in the beautiful new home that Anne and Brad had just made their own. Brad's sudden departure leaves us with an immeasurable loss. The grief due to his sudden death is really overwhelming and hard for us to make real. Yet in our hearts, we hold memories and lessons learned from this extraordinary man. On the loss of a loved one, it is said, may his memory be as a blessing. We are blessed for having shared a part of our lives with Brad. Today, we honor Brad's memory and found solace and love and laughter he brought to every gathering and remember it. And we know that his legacy will endure in the hearts of all of you and anyone who was fortunate enough to have known him, and most importantly, in the three children that he adored. So every time you open a bottle and hear the celebratory pop of the cork, I want you to remember Brad. And when you raise your glass, I want you to draw your family and your loved ones close in Brad's honor. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. Dan and Kari.
And reflecting on our friendship and everything Brad meant to me, Dan, and our family, I'm brought back to the first day that we met. I was on a beer run when I walked into the store that Brad was managing. Anyone that knows me well understands that I'm not easily persuaded by a sales pitch. Well, as I'm sure you could guess, I walked out of the store with an armful of things I didn't know that I needed. But we struck up a conversation. I mentioned that my husband was working an extra part-time job at a video store close by to cover a bicycle he had eyes on. Brad encouraged me to have Dan come talk with him as he was needing some extra help at the store. I'm so glad that he did. They became fast friends. I couldn't have foreseen that my chance encounter with Brad would become such an important friendship that would last decades. We soon met Anne over dinner and games at their house just down the block. As kids who all grew up in the 80s, we spoke the same language in terms of movies, music, and all things pop culture. This made it easy to become fast friends. Oh, and did I mention the music? It has been a central theme on rotation for all of us. Brad always had the ability to locate the radio station that had the best playlist for singing and dancing along with. Next came the kids. Ollie and Julia came first, and then 6 months later, Dan and I had Colin. Then Ethan, Finn, and last but certainly not least, baby Jacob, who can really stop growing anytime now. The kids grew up together, as did our friendship. Trick-or-treating, hiking, kite flying, football, board games, cards, the list is endless. Brad, by the way, was quite the stealthy competitor at the game of hearts. He was often quietly shooting the moon, for those who know the game. We learned how to remodel kitchens together and tackle home projects. Brad was not deterred by not knowing how to do something. He was a quick study and often found creative solutions to projects. We were also probably the reason IKEA opened a Milwaukee location. Well, there are endless joyful memories with laughter and celebration. Life will send its share of curveballs, which can be tricky, uncomfortable, and messy to navigate. Broken bones, the passing of loved ones, out of control elves, and many others have happened along the way. All one can do is show up with support and move forward the best we can. Brad embodied this. He always showed up and did whatever he could do to help. He was especially good at reaching out and checking in on people. A friend told me recently that times like this, these remind us to all put aside our daily problems and to focus on those truly important parts of our life, our families and friendships. A reminder to do as Brad did. Show up, think of others, spend some quality time, and then keep moving. Even the smallest things in life, like chatting with a stranger on a beer run, can change our lives for the better. We are so thankful for Brad, the incredible salesman and true mensch, for the impact he had on all of our lives.
I'm Ann's sister, Elizabeth Joy, and I tend to be the person who sings at these things. And I want to encourage you, if you know the chorus, which I think a lot of you do, I hope you'll join me. Who knows what tomorrow brings in this life? Few hearts survive. All I know is the way I feel. When it's real, I keep it alive. But the road is long, and there are mountains in our way. Still we climb these steps every day. Love, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles fly on a mountain high. Love, lift us up where we belong, from this world we know, where the clear winds blow. Some hang on to yesterday, all their lives looking behind. All we have is here and now. All our lives are right here to find. And the road is long, and there are mountains in our way. Still we climb these steps every day. Love, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles fly On a mountain high, love, lift us up where we belong. Far from this world we know, where the clear winds blow. Time goes by, still time to cry. Life is you and I. Alive, love, lift us up where we belong. Where the eagles fly on a mountain high. Love, lift us up where we belong. From this world we know, where the clear winds blow. Love, lift us up where we belong.
We're fortunate to have one of Brad's work colleagues, Pedro Fernandez, here with us today.
As we gather here to remember Brad, it's difficult to express the depth of the loss we feel. Beyond the workplace or shared projects, Brad was a companion on adventures that had a special meaning to our lives. I've had the privilege of accompanying Brad throughout his 14-year tenure, spending his entire journey with Emory Cork. Brad, the first out-of-state member of our Emory family, earned the endearing moniker of Road Warrior. His journeys across North America were an unwavering quest to unlock opportunities and cultivate new business ventures. At every juncture, he effortlessly forged connections, leaving an indelible mark. Even in Napa, California, our home base, Brad possessed the unique ability of effortlessly encounter and engage with individuals, embodying a very rare charm. He epitomized the very essence of our industry, imbued with aspiration, delight, the creation of enduring memories, and the cultivation of friendships that birthed new opportunities along the way. Our frequent journeys together were always something I look forward to. Our last one took place this early November, when we found ourselves collaborating in Kentucky, reminiscing about the stories and enduring journey we have shared throughout the years. As I recall some of these moments on the road, I'm reminded of his unwavering dedication. He was invariably the first to rise and the last to retire for the night. Notably, he was the sole individual I knew who would drive an open-roof convertible Mustang through 60 degrees Fahrenheit California weather clad in a simple T-shirt. Brad, though remarkably accomplished professionally, carried himself with an air of unassuming excellence. A true exemplar of high performance, he made the extraordinary appear effortless, eschewing the spotlight while consistently prioritizing the well-being of others. He represented our organization with exceptional skill. To many within our team, some of whom are present here today, he personified an elder sibling, a mentor, and a cherished friend. Within the industry, those fortunate enough to share moments with him regarded him as an icon, a guiding star, and an accomplished professional, unwaveringly present, attentive, and selfless. Personally, he remains, has been and will forever be an inspiration. A friend whose presence renders every circumstance, challenge, or location more bearable. His legacy transcends the hundreds of millions of court closures he sold, destined to be touched and removed in celebrations across the globe. For us, his legacy lies in the extraordinary, unique manner in which he made everyone in his orbit feel. The magnitude of his influence on our lives is profound. I shall forever recall the shared moments that evoke smiles and his contributions that enrich everyone around. Brad will be deeply missed, but his legacy will endure in our hearts.
Hello, everyone. For everyone that doesn't recognize me from the 5-foot kid I once was a few years ago, I'm Jacob Brunson, the youngest of Brad Brunson's children. I'm here to give a eulogy for my dad the only way I know how, by telling the funny stories that no one else knows and sharing how I saw my dad. We all saw my dad in many ways. Many met him as a salesman, making calls in his office, his car, or randomly throughout his time. A lot of you had drinks with him at hotel bars and on work trips or even at my house. I would like to note that my dad was one or two flights away from being a globalist in Hyatt's flyer status, which, to the casuals in the room like me, that is a crazy high rank, and he knew what he was doing. Some knew him as a friend. He made better ribs, brats, everything. Better than anything you saw on TV. And even though many of us joked he kind of looked like Guy Fieri when he cut his hair, my dad would outcook that TV poser any day of the week if he tasted his food. I knew him as Dad, and I'd like to share a story or two to let you guys know just exactly how amazing he was. My dad knew I loved video games from a young age. Many of you do not know that on the Nintendo Wii, my dad had completed all of the Mario Kart levels on all of them, easy, medium, hard, and on mirroring mode, which to the casuals in the room, that's a crazy hard task and he knew what he was doing. One thing he did when I was in middle school was one day I was sick or maybe faking it to get out of school. This man borrowed the Lego Batman video game from our good friends, the Featherstons, on the Wii. And he spent a good few hours playing it with me. For the casuals in the room, that was an insanely easy game, but he helped me through it. At that point in my life, and still to this day, I cannot find a bottle of yellow mustard in the fridge if it was right in front of me. This man played a kid's video game with me and helped me feel so powerful that we beat the crap out of that game. Later in life, when I was in high school, my mom and dad got me into Xbox and put it in the TV room where my dad would watch his shows or movies or whatever at night. At first, if I came into that room after not completing any of my homework, neglecting my room and studies until it stunk, was covered in clothes, he would ask me, "Do you want me to leave so you can play your games?" He was never offended if I said no. I was just excited. I was young. My dad was more than cool with that. After a bit, I started to watch these movies and shows with him. He would watch Viking shows a lot. That man watched a lot of Game of Thrones. Something we could both enjoy, and occasionally he'd put on a movie we couldn't watch with my mom. And we'd both enjoy. I started to pick up his humor a bit, as some of you realize. These jokes about movies and actors, and he'd talk to me about how this actor starred in this other film and dated this other actress, all to a high schooler with no knowledge whatsoever of the 80s or 90s. But damn, did that make me want to go back to the 80s and 90s. That man sold me on an era that I wasn't even born for. Sue me, that man could tell a story. Why am I telling you all this? Well, all of you know, no matter how you knew my dad, he cared the most about people. And one thing he could do was talk to you. My dad found common ground with a grumpy, smelly, and more than sometimes irritating son, so he could find ground with any of you. More recently, we started to talk about bartending and what I wanted to do after college. The last time I talked to him was in the car ride back to the bus station to get back to UW-Madison. He told me a lot of stories about him as a liquor distributor, salesman, everything. Somehow, looking back, he told me a story about how if someone tried hard enough at something that they liked, they'd be amazing at it no matter what. I didn't put much thought into it until later, as I was almost passed out on the bus for a few hours. But here's what he was trying to say. My dad was so proud I'm a bartender and was trying to find my passion. My dad was so amazing at his job, he was somehow selling me on my own dream. Imagine that. Salesman's so good, he sells you your own dream. That was my dad. Really hope you guys think of my dad sometimes. Find common ground with someone. Grab a drink at a bar with a stranger and follow your passions and dreams with so much intelligence and confidence that you can't tell you're working. Most importantly, tip your bartender. You never know where a new friend, story, or life can come from with something so small as a good conversation and a lot of good bourbon. Thank you, Dad, for teaching me all this and more. I'll never forget how many hours we spent watching the show The Cape, which for many casuals in the room, do not watch it. That show sucked. But leave it to the type of person like my dad to show you that even the most boring and routine stuff in life means something. Thank you for encouraging me to play volleyball, join the theater, be a bartender, and stay out late taking his minivan out into the town. Thank you for letting me do everything I wanted. Thank you for being fair to me, confident, and being a role model for everyone. I miss you, Dad. You left a damn big mark on this world, and I'll be sure I make you proud.
That's a tough act to follow. I know that I'm not the funniest sibling in the family, but the reminder of that does sting a little bit. Yeah. Second funniest, maybe.
Ow.
Yeah. For now. We'll see after Shiva how that pans out, the rankings. Sorry, I do have a speech. Well, thank you all for coming again. Here we are, you know. This was supposed to be a party, or it would be soon, I think next weekend. Lot Confest 2023 was going to be, as Jake would say, a rager. And in the cruelest of ways, the universe has decided that instead of a party, we will have a funeral. And it's still kind of a party, but there is a slight change in tone. Why would, you might ask, the universe decide that? I'm not sure. As a character in one of my dad's favorite shows once asked, why would the universe mock us? To which another character simply replied, maybe it's insecure. I can't tell you why the universe decided that we have to be here today, but all I can do is acknowledge that reality and try and dredge some sanity and hope from the chasm that has just opened up in front of our family. There are so many parts and stories that add up to a single human being. Despite our best efforts, my fellow speakers and I cannot achieve the impossible. We cannot sum up my dad, even if we spent all day and night here in this room. Even if we spent the next 7 days and seven nights comparing stories, juxtaposing perspectives, and weaving memories together into some kind of haphazard tapestry, we would fail. And so I simply will not try, though I will acknowledge the desire to do so anyway. To sum up everything and anything that I would want you to know about my dad, to speak his life and his memory into being so that it remains alongside us forever. I can't do that any more than you and I can will the last few days into non-existence. But I will offer you what hope I can and fuel the attempts at tapestry weaving as we sit Shiva and mourn in different ways together and apart. I can offer you some small, funny moments that might not be as well known, some of which are well known because Jacob did just share them. So, you know, I should have compared our speeches ahead of time. There's been a lot going on. But some of these moments have maybe been forgotten or will be forgotten in the milieu of incredible, charismatic, and humble actions that my father completed on a daily basis. So here is a small selection of things that you might not have known about my dad or that you just recently learned. As Jake mentioned, in the early days of the Nintendo Wii, Dad beat every single level on the Mario Kart and got a gold medal in every single level, which if you're curious about Mario Kart, there are three races per individual race, and there are, I believe, five races per cup, and there are several cups per version of the game you are playing. So if you can imagine how many hours that meant, he was sitting in front of the television with the Nintendo Wii that they bought for us, by the way. It was very impressive, and try as we might as children, we could never beat him in a game. He always got first place in Mario Kart. Dad once kicked out a home intruder in nothing but his underwear at 5 in the morning, if some of you haven't heard that story. And yes, even in tighty-whities, he was fearsome. He was endlessly proud of his high globalist status, as Jake mentioned, and was eager to achieve it again this year, despite my mother's very reasonable hesitation at the word choice of that Hyatt level. It's a Jewish family. It's funny if you know that. One of his favorite movies was actually Love Actually, and he always cried at the end because everyone cries, but he truly cried at the end of that movie every time. So, lovely Christmas movie. You should watch it this year and think of him. When we had Whiskey the Greyhound, he was always in charge of getting rid of the poor rabbits that Whiskey caught and grievously injured, but did not kill, unfortunately. He would take a shovel and disappear into the back alley for a few minutes, and when he returned, we would always ask him if he killed them, to which he always said, "No!" His secret sneaky water polo move was letting out a battle cry before trying to score so people would freeze in place and he would be able to get a goal in. It was very loud and people would freeze up and then he would score. He cautioned me from a young age to never drink the quote-unquote cheap shit and and that if I did, I would be very hungover. He was, of course, absolutely correct. I think his good taste in red wine and gin ruined me from a young age and for most of my college drinking career, though I tried my best to prove him wrong. He was right. Hendrix is much better than Rail, and yes, I was very hungover. The photo used in his obituary and his death announcement was taken after he asked me if I could come over to take a headshot after work for his job. He didn't want to smile, so I did an unfortunate half squat in the front yard trying to get a good angle until he cracked a smile. I think it was maybe out of pity or maybe fear that I would fall in the dirt and hurt myself, maybe both. And finally, and perhaps most important of all, he loved my mom, and he could never truly tell her no, even if he grumbled. A house, a law firm, a political donation, very large political donation. In the end, he was always at her side. They were a team, and he made sure that all of us kids knew that from a very young age. Those memories, and many more, are the edges of the tapestry that make up my dad in my mind. Things weave in and out, fitting and not fitting in different places, but the overall theme remains the same. He was an extraordinary man. He loved his family, and he did so much good in this world. His loss will hit us so hard, I think because I never truly thought that he would be gone. He was so much larger than life, even in his most human moments. He had so much life left to live, with family, with friends, and with colleagues, with new friends at events and with old ones at parties like Latke Fest. He was a remarkable man for so many reasons, and I will miss him very much. Thank you.
as was mentioned, Anne and Brad met in college. What wasn't mentioned was that they met through Anne's roommates, whom Brad had dated sequentially before finding his beshert, his love. As noted earlier, they shared a bottle of wine of no particular distinction, though it set a baseline from which Brad grew in his knowledge and expertise. At first glance, they might have struck you as an improbable pair. Different backgrounds, different interests, different heights. Yet those differences brought them together in a way that, as Anne put it, formed the perfect dovetail. Though they were young, they knew true love when they felt it, and were both prepared to grow individually and together into a lifelong friendship and love. They were mutually supportive, serving as each other's cheerleaders. When Anne put out her own shingle and started her own law firm, Brad not only backed the project in terms of the considerable changes it was going to force at home, but he also committed his own sweat equity, helping Anne furnish and refurbish her new office space. Brad was a very much of can-do guy. Many messages have come in to the family through social media expressing understandable shock and sorrow. One I thought hit the mark particularly well was written by Jeff Levine. He wrote, "Anne, I first met Brad at our restaurant place in Puerto Vallarta. What great fun we had. From that very first moment, I saw how special a person he was and the love that he had for you. Each and every time we were together, I witnessed how proud he was to be your husband, how lucky he was to share his life with you. Brad was the definition of a mensch, a stand-up guy. He was kind, thoughtful, generous, non-judgmental, extremely bright, and just fun to be around." Indeed, Brad was all those things. When I asked his family for some words to describe him, they came up with each of those, but they added one that I thought was particularly good, and that was jovial. There was something that was just happy about him that was contagious. He had the ineffable quality of leaving people feeling they were better off having spent time with him. As one friend put it, his smile, laugh, and joy he shared will always be felt. Personally, I recall having spent a little bit of time with Brad when his mother-in-law, Helen Jacobs, of blessed memory, died a little over 4 years ago. Brad and I had never spoken before, but I felt engaged by someone who was a gracious host, seemed to care about what people were saying to him, had a winning but not over-the-top smile, and who also was pouring some exquisite bourbon. I didn't have a clue as to what he actually did for a living, and the range of exquisite spirits he was pouring were tied to that work. I just remembered having had my spirits lifted when we talked. Brad had an incredible gift that way. All in all, I think it is fair to say that Brad took nothing in life for granted. He never took relationships for granted, whether holding forth at a hotel bar or visiting the production facilities in Portugal or relaxing with family in Puerto Vallarta or here at home. Brad was present and aware of the blessings in his life, chief among them the relationships he built with others. Brad never took his family for granted. He was continually grateful for the miracle through which he and Anne found each other, as well as the miracles of Oliver and Julia and Jacob, each of whom he was immensely proud. Brad never took his work colleagues for granted. Even when they told him, as was mentioned, they couldn't figure out why Brad didn't want to relocate to Northern California. Well, as someone who lived in Northern California up until about 3 decades ago, I venture I know what he was thinking. Knowing how much he valued his family, friends, and community that he had built here in Milwaukee, as well as the very close relationship with Anne's parents and siblings. And though I suspect it's likely Brad didn't expect to leave us all so soon. He never took his life for granted, either, or for that matter, anyone else's life. Even in death, Brad was still generous, donating his organs that have literally now saved the lives of others. And when the time came to choose a burial plot presented itself, Brad and the family elected a green burial, which would enable him to return to and therefore nourish the earth in a natural way. He will be buried in the same section as his mother-in-law, who died a little over 4 years ago. If today were an ordinary day, we would each of us be going about our business, scarcely imagining we could find ourselves in this place for this purpose. And we would ask the question, why? Why is it that some people sail through life unperturbed and others face significant health challenges around every corner? Why do some people get to dance at their children's and sometimes even grandchildren's weddings, while others are taken from us without warning? The fact is, we do not know the answer to the question why. We don't even know if there is an answer. And if there is, we don't know if we ever get to find it out. But one thing we know for certain, Brad's death compels in us a choice. We can allow his death to defeat and deprive our lives of pleasure and meaning, or we can resolve to wring out and savor every drop of life's sweetness. We can yield to despair or somehow, despite everything, maintain a sense of direction and purpose. We do not have the answer to the question why, but we do have each other, and we can love and nurture and comfort each other. We can bind each other's wounds, even though we ourselves are broken. And staring into the shrouded abyss, all of our assumptions about life shattered, not sure where next to set our feet. Julia, Oliver, and Jacob, you've lost your father in a flash and decades before his time, in ways most people never contemplate until they are decades older than you are right now. You'll have to learn how to consciously incorporate your dad into your lives in a way that honors his memory and nourishes your own souls. And for you, our hearts break and flood with tears. You have lost your deepest love, your surest friend, your partner in all things, the man you love whose life dovetailed with yours so perfectly. To you, we extend the promise of our love and support, our compassion and consolation, not only today, but in the weeks and months and years ahead to come as well. What do we do now? Well, we continue to tell and listen to stories about the way Brad informed and enriched our lives. We focus on the lessons he taught us and strive to incorporate them into the way we are in the world and the effect we have on others. If we do this, then every time we walk through a doorway, Brad will walk through that doorway with us, and he will continue to be a force for blessing in the world. When we remind ourselves never to take for granted the blessings we enjoy in life, when we honor and magnify our love for our family and our esteem for our life partner, when we stop to take the time to have a drink with someone we've never met, knowing that both of us would emerge from that interaction in a better place. And when we celebrate the achievements of our children and grandchildren, we will be celebrating with Brad as surely he would have celebrated. And when we pass our own legacy on to those generations who follow us, we will be passing along Brad's legacy too. If we do these things and continue to do them in the months and years ahead, then Brad will be alive in us and continue to bless the world with his presence. May we have the wisdom and the strength to do so. Zichrono livracha, may Brad's memory be a blessing, and may we be a blessing to Brad's memory. In a moment, we're going to conclude the service with the prayer known as El Mele Rachamim, God Full of Mercy, which is found on the inside right-hand lower corner of the pamphlet. That will be the end of what we're doing here today. We are all invited back to Brad and Ann's home on Lake Drive in the city. I think there probably might even be directions somewhere. Maybe not. What's the actual 17? What's 17? 2721 Lake, which is sort of at the corner of Newberry and Lake. We will also, the family will be holding Shiva, or a period for people to come into their home on Monday and Tuesday evening from 5 to 8 p.m. And at 6 p.m. on each of those evenings, we will have a short minyan service in order to provide a prayer quorum for them to say Kaddish, the memorial prayer. For now, please rise.
El Male Rachamim Shochen Abam Romim Hametzem Nuchanechona Tachat Kanfei Hashchina Im Kedoshim Utehorim Kezohar Harakia Mazahirim et nishmat Baruch ben Avraham shehalach leolamo bal harachamim yastirehu beseter kenafav leolamim veyitror bitror hachayim et nishmato Adonai hu nachalato V'yanuach b'shalom al mishkavo V'nomar Amen.
And please join me in the English translation at the bottom. O God, full of compassion, eternal spirit of the universe, grant perfect rest under the wings of your presence to our loved one, Brad Berenson, who has entered eternity. Master of mercy, let him find refuge forever in the shadow of your wings, and let his soul be bound up in the bond of eternal life. The eternal God is his inheritance. May he rest in peace, and let us say, Amen.